Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Brady fires. Oh, my goodness.
And Tom Brady took a shot.
Yes, he did. Another one to Rob Gronkowski.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Show here. On Patriots.com. There we go. Couldn't hear myself for a second there, Matthew. Anyway, how you doing? First hour on a Thursday. It's always B-Low in the fantasy football lowdown. And man, oh man, lots to talk about. But speaking of fantasy, I can't believe some of the baseball numbers that are being thrown out there. That's my fantasy.
That
Jesus,
is a dream.
Mary and Joseph. I mean, come on.
Wow.
$250 million.
And who would have thought the Marlins and the Angels being the teams of note? You know, it's...
And Fat Hanley and Ramirez doesn't want to play there. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, you got to produce before you can dictate what position you're going to play. You know,
unbelievable. But anyway, this is a big week in fantasy football. I mean, I know a lot of people have playoffs starting this week, but in the next 2 weeks is huge.
Yeah, this is either playoff week one for you, or it's the last week of the regular season, pretty much in most leagues. And I know for me, I'm really fighting for a playoff spot in one league, and I got just seeding to worry about in another league. But it really comes down to the wire now, and it's all about setting your team up for your playoff weeks, especially if you know this is the last week of free agency. You know, some leagues just don't have free agency in the playoffs, so this is what it comes down to. But it's nut crunching time now, Pete.
It sure is. And again, we get to, and those of you who have teams, obviously, get it going tonight because you have the Steelers hosting the Cleveland Browns, and what could be an ugly game, but Roethlisberger seems to always put up some numbers against this team.
Yeah.
And through the air.
Definitely.
Through the air.
Yeah, no, I think Roethlisberger's a pretty good play tonight. You know, Mike Wallace is just so good, and some of the other guys that they've got, you know, with Brown and even Heath Miller doing well. I do like Roethlisberger tonight. Not sure I like really too much of the Cleveland offense tonight at all.
Well,
I don't
the only
like
thing to worry about is Peyton Hillis. I mean, last week he gets off to a pretty good start. I think he had like 24 yards on two or three carries, and then he disappeared.
Yeah, a long reception I think he had as well.
I thought that was going to be a much more competitive game last week with Baltimore. Yeah. I mean, but then it was, and ended up being, I mean, really sucked, to be honest with you. It was ugly.
Yeah,
He disappeared.
Yeah, well, I don't think too much of Peyton Hillis coming back here. Of his last five games, four of them are against either Baltimore or Pittsburgh, including tonight. So, you know, Cleveland's defense, you know, they do have the number one ranked pass defense, but I don't buy it too much.
Again, net yardage numbers, I mean, absolutely nothing. Does anybody think that if any good passing team went up against them, that they wouldn't be able to do the job?
And I think Roethlisberger's going to be just fine tonight. You know, it's amazing in the AFC. You got four teams at 9-3. The margin for error is so small with all four of them because all four have relatively easy schedules. So if any one of those four slip up, of course, with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, one of them, you know, only one of them can win the division. The other one would have to settle for a wild card as it is. But there's no margin for error of these teams. It's really fascinating.
I thought the surprise game of the week last week was Houston and Atlanta. I mean, that is one. I mean, I know Matt Ryan really sucked in the first quarter, throwing a couple of picks, and that kind of set the tone. But, man, you got to give Yates and that team credit for hanging in there.
No question.
And again, another tricky game with him, you know, at Cincinnati this week. But I got to give Houston a lot of credit for gutting out and winning that game.
Absolutely, they're another team that's they can clinch a division this week, and certainly they had Schaub for most of the year.
Yeah.
But you know, Matt Ryan, you know, if you had told me one of those two quarterbacks is going to go throw two picks in the first quarter or whatever it was early in the game, I would have said Yates. And Ryan has a real struggle, and that's really you know, to me, I mean, I do think Houston is an extremely well-rounded, balanced team. And I can't imagine they're going to go too far in the playoffs with T.J. Yates, but I've come around to the fact that they're going to win that division, and that might be by default because Tennessee is really the only other threat, and they're kind of a wishy-washy week in, you know, 1 week good, 1 week bad team. So Houston's going to win, and they're going to have a home playoff game, maybe against a team like Denver or like – no, not Denver. A team like Pittsburgh or it could be, you know, the Jets or something like that. I don't love their chances in a game like that, but they're competitive, and we should note, you know, Andre Johnson looks like he's probably not going to play this week. They're going to be all about their running game and all about the defense.
Mm, yeah. And the other game that shocked me last week, and I couldn't believe it, it was my, one of my few, I think I'm 8-4 now, my miraculous locks of the week, and the team that really, I just was stunned. Was Oakland could not put up any points in Miami like that. That to me probably was the most surprising. Maybe not so much Miami winning, but to win like that. I mean, yeah. Wow.
34-0. Oakland scored a few, but yeah, that was stunning. And Miami, you wonder with Miami if they could have gotten their act together a couple weeks earlier than they did, they could have been a threat. Maybe not for the division, but certainly sure. in the wild card race. And you wonder why it was so bad for them. The first half of the season, now they've turned it around a bit.
And they have a tough rebounding act to go to Green Bay this week.
Oh, yeah. I think that could be an explosive game.
Well, again, like we thought the Giants and Packers last week would be
38-35 explosive. 38-35 ends up being,
And that's why I don't put a lot of stock in it. Well, this team beat this team by that score. And somebody sent me an email this week. It's like, well, if the Patriots can only beat Indianapolis by 7 points, what does that mean? I'm like, well, the Steelers only beat them by 3. So what the hell does that mean?
Right.
And Steelers beat Kansas City by 4, and we beat them by 31.
You
can't do that.
Ad nauseum, and it gets you nowhere.
Exactly.
Because there's so many factors that play into any one game and how teams play each other and all that. So I don't play much into that. But, definitely Oakland-Green Bay is definitely a game from a fantasy perspective I'm keeping an eye on. It doesn't look like Darren McFadden's going to go this week. It looks like he'll be out. Michael Bush will start again. Did not have a good game last week. But, I think that passing game, they're going to be able to – Carson Palmer's going to be able to have a pretty solid week.
Against that Green Bay secondary, but – I thought they'd have a pretty good day against the Miami secondary.
I did too. But Green Bay has given up among the most passing touchdowns in the league.
Yeah.
And you know, Miami, I know their numbers are skewed because of how bad they were early on. But you know, Miami's defense hasn't been terrible of late. And I would have thought Oakland would be able to move the ball a little more.
I've already circled the Bears +3.5 as one of my picks coming up because I just can't seem to do it again. I'll give Tebow credit. That's his best game he's played so far by a long shot.
Yep.
But there still was a pick six by the defense and that pathetic throw
by Ponder.
Who may not play this week, sets up a couple of McGahee runs and a winning field goal.
Right. But Bears +3.5, that still means Denver winning by a field goal and you're fine. Isn't that how they do
it? Well, possibly. but I'm just wondering, a quarterback, you know, the Bears defense is doing very well. I mean, they just can't score any points.
Yeah,
that's the
problem. Game last week, what a miserable game. 10-3, Chicago and Kansas City, two teams that are
Tyler Palco with
Tyler
the Hail
Palco.
Mary. Knock all here is Tom, knock it down.
Yeah.
And Urlacher should have probably picked it off. So.
Tyler Palco versus Caleb Haney.
Unbelievable.
And no one has picked up Donovan McNabb so far.
Gee, what a shock.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. All right, we got some emails already, so let's get to it. And again, email us, webradio@patriot.com. B-Lo is here. Until 5 o'clock, our buddy Poker Mike will call a little bit later on too, and get his insights. He's all excited. he asked a couple questions he wants to ask you as well because he's got some. Everybody seems to. People are either two modes right now: total panic, or they're just looking. Hopefully, their team stays reasonably healthy. In a couple of meaningless fantasy football weeks. But all right, first one is Todd. He says, "Made it into the playoffs, but with one regular season game left, I am trying for a higher seed at this point. So here are my starting." I start sits this week. This is a 1 point per reception league. Running back, two of them, Steven Jackson versus Seattle. Hate this matchup. C.J. Spiller at San Diego. Mo Morris versus Minnesota.
Well, yeah, Jackson, I don't like the Jackson matchup either, and I didn't like it last week against San Fran, and he didn't do much. Seattle's not quite as good against the run as San Fran, but I still don't like the matchup. I'll tell you, for Maurice Morris, if Kevin Smith does not play, where's he at right now? He just hopes to practice tomorrow, so it's not looking great for Kevin Smith. I do like Maurice Morris, probably best among these three, if Smith doesn't go. And I, You know, Spiller is just so talented. I keep on thinking there's going to be a breakout game. There's going to be a breakout game. Maybe it's this week against San Diego. But I'm with you. I don't like Jackson. I'd go Maurice Morris if Kevin Smith doesn't play, and then I'd go Spiller if Smith does play.
It's just the Buffalo Bills right now are just so out of it. And, yeah. I mean, they still have a little bit of talent. This year, I think there'll be a lot of points in that San Diego game. I think he might have a good fantasy game in that one.
And you know who's been coming on the last 2 weeks is Brad Smith. Remember Brad Smith, the kind of, you know, gimmicky guy with the Jets? Bills signed him. You kind of thought, hey, you know, a team taking a plunge on a guy like Brad Smith, they're going to use him in different creative ways. Well, really, they've done nothing with him until the last couple of weeks. But he's had, I think, 7 targets each of the last 2 weeks. He had a touchdown. I see him getting more in the mix because what does Buffalo have to lose?
We suck again.
I think Fitzpatrick's going to go in Brad Smith's direction. So he's an interesting guy, just a guy to keep an eye on.
Problem is they have Gailey as coach, which means you're going to lose.
Which means
why they have a lot. Yeah. That's if that team had any kind of a decent coach, they wouldn't have gone to the slump they did right now, which is why they went 4-0. I told you there's going to be disastrous in the end, and it is.
Yeah.
Flex, one of these guys above or Vincent Jackson versus Buffalo? Santana Moss versus New England or Julio Jones versus Carolina?
Oh, you got to go Vincent Jackson here. And I know that because of how bad a year Vincent Jackson was having until a couple weeks ago, his game against the Patriots in week 2 was his only good game at all through the first like 9 or 10 weeks. He had a big game last week, it's amazing with San Diego and with North Turner, who deserves to be fired. There's no chance he lasts beyond the season. But is there still a chance?
What
that
if they
San
run the
Diego
table here and make the playoffs?
Is there still a chance? And you have
I
to
think,
say yes.
In that division, absolutely. Now that they're only 2 games behind. With Oakland and
Denver
and,
tied.
You know, God over in Denver, I mean.
You can't put it past Philip Rivers. You know, maybe things just start to click late for that team. I don't care how good they do the rest of the way. Turner should be out, and there's still something up with that team. But I would say Vincent Jackson has a chance to really explode here in the last couple of weeks. So I definitely would not think about the other running backs you had there, Todd. I'd go Vincent Jackson. Jones against Carolina, been disappointing recently. Moss against New England, hey, any number one wide receiver for any team against New England, you've got to say, has a pretty good chance, but I wouldn't put him over
Vincent
Jackson.
But he's not the number one wide receiver.
Right,
the number one wide receiver is not playing. Fred Davis. He's out.
Who's out? In his absence, Jabbar Gaffney, I think, is going to be the guy who, if Washington is going to have success passing the ball, it's probably going to be more Gaffney than Moss, in my opinion.
But this would be one of those weeks, and people better be, and I've been telling people, don't get fall into the trap of the fourth quarter of last week against Indianapolis and think the Redskins. After looking at this game, at the beginning of the week I was looking at it, or started to at the end of last week before we found out Davis wasn't going to play, and I thought it might be competitive for a while. I think this is going to be, I think the Patriots are going to kick their butt on Sunday.
Yeah,
I really do. I think this is a bad matchup this week for Washington.
I do too. And the only thing is, you know, I don't expect the Patriots to have a huge struggle offensively, but Washington's defense is better than Colts' defense.
They can
do some things. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like Indy in terms of it's a close game through the first say 20 minutes of the game. The Patriots then, you know, put it somewhat out of reach, maybe 20-7 or something like that. I don't see it ever being 31-3. But I think it could be a little bit of a slugfest. Right?
I think the Patriots put up 30-plus in this game. I think it's going to be over 30 points.
I could see.
I think Grossman's got no one to throw. They can't run. I know Hilo's doing better, but I think without Davis, that's a huge loss for them.
People are going to
get carried away with what happened in the Indy game last week. And I'm just telling you, I'm warning everybody right now, be on the lookout. This is going to be, in the end, it's going to be a blowout by the Patriots.
Yeah. I
sense it. I sense it coming. Yeah, but agreed. I like, there's a lot of decent player, but Freeney and Mathis were contained pretty well last week. And I said it to John Rook earlier. Matt Light's having a great year.
Yeah,
for a guy that some people didn't think was going to be on a team at the beginning of the season, he's having one of his best years.
I'll tell you, I didn't think he was going to be on the team because the Patriots drafted Nate Solder. And on draft night, Bill Belichick was asked, you know, does he play left tackle, right tackle? And Belichick made it abundantly clear then that Nate Solder plays left. Oh, I'm sorry. That Nate Solder plays left tackle. That hasn't been the case. But when he said that, I thought, that's it for Matt Light. He's done. He's having a good year. He's solid.
And he's solid. He can play on both sides. Solder can. Yeah.
Light is solid.
Higgy says, hey, guys, really need some help. See, there's a lot of desperation.
Desperation.
In some
people come to me when they're desperate.
They should. Which running back should I play? Pick 3 of these 4. Murray, Helu, P. Peterson, McCoy. Start with that one.
Well, you know, I love McCoy. You know, McCoy, last week, we were talking, at this point last week, I was telling you, Pete, that I was nervous because I have McCoy on one of my teams that I was fighting and clawing for a playoff spot. Do I start him? Do I not? I realized a week, an hour and a half before the game that he's going to play. So I went with him, and it paid off. And I think you have to go with McCoy. And, you know, as far as Peterson goes, what was the latest I saw on Peterson?
Back at practice.
Yeah.
He was back at practice.
Full participation.
So, okay, you got to monitor that, and I think he's going to be fine, and I think you obviously have to play
Tough
Peterson.
Matchup this week for him in Detroit.
You play him if he's playing, though.
Yeah, oh,
you play him if he's active.
Oh, you have to,
if he's active, you play him.
Yeah.
So it comes down to Murray or Helu. And, you know, I think Helu against the Patriots, you know, I think – It's still so weird with Shanahan. Like, he's been the hot hand. He's been doing well. You still just don't know how they're going to utilize their running backs. What if they're down by a lot early? Do they even, you know, is this another game where Helu gets six carries, Terrain gets five, and who's the other guy? There's another guy they have in the mix gets three, and they combine for 35 yards. I mean, it could very well be a game like that.
Royster?
Royster is their latest guy. I would probably lean toward Murray over Helu. I'd probably go McCoy, Peterson, Murray, and sit Helu, but that's a good problem to have there, Higgs. You've got four guys who are absolutely startable, but I'd probably sit Helu in that case.
And then which wide receiver, second part of his question out of three, which wide receiver, pick two, Antonio Brown, Macklin, Roddy White, A.J. Green?
I'll tell you, I like Antonio Brown tonight quite a bit. I wouldn't trust Macklin. He's been out for a couple weeks, and you know, I just don't trust those wide
receivers.
I don't
trust anybody on that
team. Yeah, so I'd probably have to go Roddy White and Antonio Brown. A.J. Green is a tough a tough guy to sit right there, but they are going against Houston. He's a rookie. I'd go Roddy White and Antonio Brown. Give you a little bit of something to keep an eye out for tonight. A reason to watch tonight's game, which I think is always fun.
And also, which defense, Seattle or the Steelers?
Well,
tough one. Seattle game is so ugly, but
I mean, I probably have to go with the Steelers.
I think you have.
I mean, Seahawks, great matchup, great 1 week against St. Louis, great 1 week.
But it's two garbage teams, and that game could be 10-7, or it could be 37-35.
Exactly.
And those games like that, this time of year, you just don't know.
And I like Pittsburgh to have four interceptions of Colt McCoy tonight. I think it's going to be an ugly one for Colt McCoy.
I agree with you.
So it's closer than it should be because of the Seattle matchup. And again, like I said, great play, Seattle. And also Tampa Bay's defense against Jacksonville. Tampa Bay's defense is not very good at all. But against Jacksonville this week, that's a great play. They have a horrible quarterback situation. Maurice Jones-Drew gets his yards here and there. But Seattle and Tampa Bay are two sneaky defenses. But for you here, Higgs, you got to go Steelers. So Steelers and Antonio Brown, that's a reason for you to keep an eye on tonight's game.
All right, email us, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. You can also Facebook me as well. And below, I also have any fantasy questions on Facebook, and I can relay them to Brian. Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. And you can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And Manny's in Miami. He's got fantasy football stuff for you. Hey, Manny.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great,
what's going
Manny.
On?
Good. I'm in my final week onto the playoffs, so this is just basically foresee who gets the number one seed or the, you know what I'm saying, like that.
Absolutely. Seeding's huge.
Okay. How about these running backs? I need one. Ahmad Bradshaw and Darren Sproles.
Bradshaw or Sproles? Well, you know, Bradshaw going to be back in the mix a little more this week,
At Dallas.
At Dallas. And then, you know, Sproles is just he's one of those guys that is he's so good for that New Orleans team.
I love him.
He's so good for that New Orleans team, and there have been some weeks this year where I've said, you know, this could be a great week for Darren Sproles to be in your fantasy lineup.
This isn't one of them.
They
play
Tennessee. On the one hand, I say this isn't one of them, but Mark Ingram's going to be slowed. It's, you know, they've had such an interesting backfield mix this year with Ingram, Pierre Thomas, Chris Ivory, and Darren Sproles. And I do think Sproles is more important to their team than he is to most fantasy teams. So I'd probably lean toward Bradshaw, but Sproles is, if Ingram is out, you could envision Sproles being more in the mix. And and Tennessee's got a shaky. Yeah, who are you leaning toward right now, Manny?
Well, I saw the way that Ahmad played, and he looked like he was actually back in shape, and then he got hurt a little bit, and then he played again in the, I believe in the. last quarter.
Yep.
But I mean, you know, it's basically just a toss up right now because he did not. He was not on the field again today, so they say that he should be on the field tomorrow. With you know, but I mean, it's just a speculation.
I'm also looking at the matchup. Dallas got humiliated last week. Humiliated. And they're going to be out for blood on Sunday. I don't think the Giants are going to score a lot of points in that game. And they're playing again in a couple of weeks in New York.
Right.
It might be different.
Right. Yeah. But I think it's a close one. I'm actually, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to lean towards Sproles. I think if Ingram is out, you just, that offense, I just think there's such a good chance he catches a touchdown pass from, you know, there's a better chance he's in the passing game mix more so than Bradshaw. Bradshaw. You know, definitely, wishy-washy with him. However, I don't think Brandon Jacobs is in the mix. I think they want Brandon Jacobs to just get away. Go away, Brandon. Mm-hmm. Go away.
Exactly.
So that's a bit of a toss-up. I'm going to lean towards Sproles right now today. And certainly if Ingram is out and if Bradshaw misses more practice time, I'd stick with Sproles. If it turns out Ingram plays and Bradshaw does practice, you may have to rethink it on Sunday morning. But right now, I'm going to go Sproles.
All right, guys. And one more I got.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got the Steelers defense or the 49ers defense. And I know that their middle linebacker, he's out, I believe, for about, I think a week or
Willis.
Two where they pull hamstring.
Yeah. I guess I'd go Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh tonight against Cleveland is a slam dunk defense. San Fran, it's hard to go wrong with San Fran. They have not yet given up a rushing touchdown, which is just absolutely extraordinary. And this week against Arizona, you know, Beanie Wells is banged up. He seems to be questionable just about every week. And he's had some good performances. I'd go with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh this week, I think, is safer than San Fran.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much, man.
Okay.
Have a great weekend, man. All right,
you too.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Facebook, somebody messages me, another desperate one. Guthrie says, hi, Pete and Bilo. I'm in need of some fantasy advice. I'm in a real bind. I need help picking running backs with Matt Forte getting hurt.
Mm.
I forgot about that. And McFadden still sidelined. I need two of the three. DeMarco Murray versus the Giants. Toby Gerhardt at Detroit. C.J. Spiller at San Diego.
Gerhardt out. Mm-hmm. Go Murray and go Spiller. Gerhardt, obviously, if Adrian Peterson is back, then obviously Gerhardt has no value whatsoever. But even if Gerhardt's the main guy, I haven't been all that impressed. He had a decent week last week. Decent yardage. He also was much more involved in the passing game than I would have thought. He had 8 catches. But I'd still go Murray and Spiller.
Yeah.
I prefer those two, definitely of those three.
I think that's no question about that. Then he says, number one in the league and play fourth seed, and so needing the help. Thanks, guys. Go Pats 34-16. Pats
all right.
Roll.
Well, thanks for
all
the
right.
question.
Love that. Anyway, email us, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Brian Lowe, the Football Fantasy Lowdown. We're doing this until 5 o'clock this afternoon. Then we'll get more into the Redskins and the Patriots a little bit later on. There are some very intriguing games this week as well. There's some real crappy games, too. I mean, how bad is the Jets-Kansas City going to be?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just that's awful right there. For fantasy.
Yeah.
I think San Diego-Buffalo's got a chance for some points, as I said.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Giants and Dallas, even though the Giants have died, I just think, again, you can't go by what Giants did last week against Green Bay. This is going to be a pissed-off, mean Dallas team, humiliated. Garrett may be playing for his coaching job down the stretch.
Yeah,
here.
You cannot put that past Jerry Jones to get rid of him after one.
No.
After what he did last week. I like Tony Romo to have a big game.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a big, big outing for Romo. They might have Miles Austin back. They might also not have Laurent Robinson. But I think Austin coming back, you wonder, first week back after missing about a month, where's he going to be at? But you know, Dez Bryant is starting to play really well. I think if Austin comes back, that'll help Romo. Jason Witten getting the job done. I see the Dallas Cowboys putting up a lot of points. I agree with you that Dallas needs this win. Coming off of last week was an embarrassment. But I think the Giants are going to be able to put up some points too.
The only reason why I think that, I mean, I think this could be more like a 2017 game is just because Romo in December stinks. I mean, his numbers are atrocious.
His numbers against the Giants have been pretty good the last couple years.
They have been. We'll see what happens. Yeah. I mean, I like Dallas in the game, but I'm not sure. I don't know. There could be a lot of turnovers in this game, too. Yep. Romo's still such a wild card to me. He's really tough to figure out.
That team is a wild card. That team is tough to figure out. There's some interesting, Miles Austin coming back is an important factor in fantasy football this week. You know, the question is, do you rely on him right away? If you've had him on your bench and you've been patient because, okay, he's out for 4 weeks, but I'm going to have my, have him back for the playoffs. If you need him this week, do you rely on him? You never know with a wide receiver, coming right back out. Now, one of the emailers or callers mentioned Matt Forte.
Yeah.
And that's a huge loss, obviously, for the Bears, and it's a huge loss fantasy wise as well. If you're someone who handcuffed yourself with Marion Barber, you're in luck because Marion Barber now becomes a great fantasy option. This week against Denver, I think Marion Barber is a great guy to start. He's been getting the goal line carries as it is, ruffling Forte's feathers a little bit. Mm-hmm. Anyways, and then they've got a backup now who is interesting, Bell. I don't remember his first name. Bell with Chicago.
Yeah.
Who, this is not a player you got to go grab off the waiver wire, but he's next in line, and I could see the Bears not giving Forte 30 carries, maybe going 15 for him and giving this other kid 8 or 10. But, the Forte injury. Really, NFC North with running backs this week, it's interesting. Kevin Smith with Detroit, mm-hmm. Does he play? Does he not play? Does Peterson come back? And then Forte with Chicago.
The other thing, game, I think from a fantasy standpoint, going to be a little interesting is San Fran at Arizona because – He brought this up a couple weeks ago. Now the 49ers can be in coast mode here a little bit. So how aggressive are they going to be? And do they have a little bit of a letdown against an Arizona team that's played decent defense the last couple of weeks, although I think Dallas attributed to that. But
yeah,
somewhat
well, I think
cruddy
I,
offense. But.
Right. They've clinched the division title, right? But they haven't, the seedings are not yet. They still have stuff to play for. I don't think they've clinched a bye yet.
No, they can play for number two seed.
Right.
So
it could be a letdown game, a division game. And, does Arizona get a little bit of a spark after what happened last week? But I don't think they're in cruise control mode yet. It's way too early for a team.
And Kevin Cobb is supposed to play this week.
Kevin Cobb is supposed to play.
That's big.
Yep, we'll see about Beanie Wells. So Arizona, I'm with you. I could see it being a letdown game. I don't think it will be any kind of an intentional letdown mm-hmm. game where San Fran is benching guys quite yet. They just can't afford to do that yet. But I know what you're saying. I can see it being that. And Patrick Willis having an injury. There's some reasons to think that it could be a struggle for San Fran this week.
For San Fran wins ugly. Something like 18-17.
Yeah.
Watch.
Yeah. Six
I'm
field goals.
You. Something like that. Some ugly type of score like that.
Yeah, I could see that.
But I thought the Raiders would win last week. They lost by, 87 points or something like that.
Yeah, that was a joke.
That was my worst loss of the year. I figure if I'm going to pick a loser, let it just be an annihilation,
You're eyeing the Monday night game this week for being one of the best of the week, right?
Oh, God, that's all.
Great game.
I think I'd have to go with is I'd almost
Saint
pick
Louis,
Jeff Kansas
yeah.
City isn't as it's horrible. The worst one maybe Jacksonville and Tampa
yeah.
Bay.
It might be the worst game.
And is Freeman going to play? Still,
Freeman, John. I mean, yeah, it's that one's up in the air. I'll tell you another. We mentioned Christian Ponder. Doesn't look like he's going to play. It might be Joe Webb. St. Louis
against Detroit. Imagine that game. That could be hideous.
St. Louis picked up Tom Brandstater, who might start Monday night.
Great.
He might start Monday night.
That's a marquee game.
Tyler Palco starting for the Chiefs Monday night last week. It could be Tom Brandstater with Bradford, Feely, both missing practice Thursday. They signed Kellen Clemens, and they got Tom Brandstater. So how about that?
Reminds you one Monday night, way before you were born, the Patriots favored by like 11 or 12 against the Green Bay Packers in the early 80s, and here comes Lynn Dickey.
I was alive in the early 80s.
Here comes Lynn Dickey for the Packers to just torch them.
yep. No, I'm
one of those 10-6 years where they always lost to the Steelers in the playoff. Lost out making a playoff spot by one gamer. And you'd look back at those pathetic, some of those games, and just awful. Hey, it's Poker Mike joining us here on the with B-Lo on the Fantasy Football Lowdown. Hey, Mike.
Fellas, how we doing?
Mike,
I forgot. Now, are you in the playoff week this week?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Yours is next week also. Okay.
I'm sorry. I completely lied to you. This is the first week of the playoffs in both of my leagues.
It is. So. Okay.
14, 15, and 16, we do nothing in 17.
Gotcha.
So
you've got eight teams in the playoffs?
Six.
Six? Oh, and there's a couple of bye weeks.
Yep. The top two, we have two divisions, six and six. Actually, in the main, my main league, 6-6, top two in each division get a bye, and then the next four best teams.
Wow,
it's not a bad deal. I mean, I kind of like the setup the way that we do it, but I mean, it's crunch time now, boys.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, this is it.
No joke. This is what we play for. This is what we.
And your boy CJ is turning it on right at the right time.
Oh my, thank God. Thank you. Know, I knew that. You know, I have to admit, I've been the fantasy football gods have blessed me this year, and it doesn't happen. Sometimes you have a good draft.
You weathered the storm, though. You went through some rough weeks with him. You weathered the storm.
I got some criticism
with
for that
Spiller,
trade,
is that
obviously.
No, with Chris Johnson.
CJ,
CJ.
Yeah.
I missed that.
No, anyway. No, you thought you were talking about Spiller. I mean, I said you're talking about Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, John, it's just been how amazing has it been just to finally see him kick into gear, and it just makes you question what was happening to him the first 9-10 weeks of the season. Just where was this guy? Was it, we talked about personal issues, was he playing injured?
New contract,
what was the problem?
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? When it's all said and done, he's coming through for the guys that stuck with him, and I was one of them. I played him every single week since week 3.
Well, that's why you inspired him. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
And it's been good. I have to admit it.
He's been thanking you. He's been crediting you.
Well, maybe, you know what? I'll take it there. I have not talked. He's been just bashed out there. And, you know, the guys have off seasons. They kind of come and go. This is a player I just felt it. I felt like he was going to make his move, and it just, thank God he did. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, he has absolutely came on at the right time for me. Last week, I mentioned that I had already locked up playoff spots, and I didn't even mention it because I didn't think it was possible, but I'm going to gloat here for a second, B-Lo.
Yeah.
I wound up, by the skin of my teeth, I won the points title in my league.
Wow.
The majority of fantasy.
Didn't you win that? Did you win that on Monday night because of the San Diego game?
Philip Rivers.
Yeah, Philip Rivers.
God bless the man. Old man Rivers. Finally, another guy. I mean, could these guys be peaking at the right time for me? I mean, these are because my team was pretty well put together with Ray Rice and McCoy and Jimmy Graham and A.J. Green, the Chris Johnson struggles and the Rivers struggles, which we've talked about, have been killing people.
Yeah.
They finally, you know, got it done, and I put up probably the most points I ever have in my decade of fantasy football. Everybody hit on all cylinders. You talked about McCoy earlier, B-Lo.
Yep.
We almost sat him. I mean, we were looking for other options. Thank God we didn't. He helped you out.
He
from
did.
What you were saying.
Yeah,
he
did.
And he put
he
me did. In a spot. I think I had 100 points between Ray Rice, Chris Johnson, and McCoy. I had over 100. And I literally needed 34 points out of Philip Rivers Monday night to lock up my point title, and he put up 37.
37, so. How about that? Yeah, with McCoy, I mean, I once I saw it, he is definitely in that category of, as long as he's active, you're going to play him. I didn't care if I started seeing he might be limited, this and that. If he was active, I was starting him and taking my chances because he's LeSean McCoy, he's that good. But the kind of game he had, you just wouldn't expect.
Nope.
You know, that was Marshawn Lynch, you know, went off in that game too, but
right.
I was happy I started McCoy. I'll tell you, I have Drew Brees in one of my leagues, and I had the most points in each of the last 2 weeks in that
nice.
League, mostly because of him, and Beanie Wells as well in that league. I've had some good weeks, but in prime time, each of the last 2 weeks, watching Drew Brees play and just picking apart defenses has been fun to watch as a Brees owner.
I mean, between, you know, Brees and just it's the quarterback situation that we talked about, I mean, Aaron Rodgers also being another one, you know, we're at a point where you need to seriously, we're so running back, you know, oriented, we need to have good running backs, but I've already made the decision that moving forward in my drafts, and especially for next year, I'm going to do everything in my power, and we have an auction league, so I have to spend the money. You know, a guy like Brees, they win fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
You know, Rodgers, the guy that I just jumped past that beat everybody up all year, he had Aaron Rodgers. I mean, putting up 40, 50 points a week, it just makes a huge difference than starting, you know, a guy like Romo and a guy like Rivers where they get you 20, they get you 25.
Yep.
But they hurt you, you know,
picks,
this year they hurt you more than they help you.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Yep. Yep.
Big-time QBs. But I got some questions, B-Lo.
Yeah,
you got a
fire
second.
Away.
This is I'm flipping the switch here.
Bring it on.
I have some matchups that we'll get into, but the league that I'm talking about here, and I actually have some guys that I'm sure a lot of people have questions about. I'm pretty much locked and loaded here. I got Rivers. I love my matchups this week. There's, unfortunately, my opponent has some really good matchups. You guys mentioned it. There's some iffy games in there, but there's some really, really good matchups
sure,
for some
yeah.
of these guys. Ray Rice being one of them. McCoy, you know, obviously we're starting him, but with that Miami defense, you know, they could make it difficult for him, but he's an automatic start.
No question.
But my question is, we talked about Laurent Robinson.
Yep.
This was a huge pickup for me, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are kind of questioning, you know, Austin Miles is coming back. This guy's been banged up this week. What do I do here? You know, week one of the playoffs. This is the game of the week in my eyes, as far as this, we're in Dallas, correct?
Yeah, in Dallas.
Division game. There's got to be points here. I'm actually playing against Manning and Knicks. So
yeah, I'm gonna pull the Lee Corso not so fast. I was talking to Bilo about it. I would not get carried away with what the Giants did last week against Green Bay. I just think the way Dallas was humiliated last week, that emotion is going to play a big part in it. Romo, I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I just think Romo is still too much of a wild card, and so is Eli.
Yeah,
yeah. It's hard to figure
it's
out
very
either
hard.
One of
it's
these
a
two
tough
teams,
one.
Right?
And you get the two. Listen, most likely they split these two games that they have in these final 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Right.
But they both need both games.
Yeah.
They are hard to figure out. It's hard. You know what the Giants have done in the past, late in the season. I guess some good and some bad. You know, 2007 obviously. Yeah. You know, they come on and the sixth seed in the playoffs, and they you know, we know what they did.
If both teams had won last week, I would agree with you about a higher scoring game. But both teams are desperate to win this game. The Giants don't win, they're done, probably. More than likely, they're, it's going to be very difficult for them. And Dallas, although not being done, I can't get past Romo's record in December, which is just awful. Even though he has had decent numbers against the Giants, he chokes in December. He's great in November and chokes in December. I can't get past all those numbers, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I think he has a big week this week, and we'll see what the rest of December brings him, but I think this is a big week. You mentioned Laurent Robinson. He did practice today.
Yeah, he's probable.
But Miles Austin is back practicing too, and I happen to think that if Austin plays, they're going to be going to him a lot, and that might downgrade Robinson a little bit.
So with that said then, Brian, so if as of right now, I do have Robinson in my lineup. I have two other options. We talked about Santana Moss.
Yep.
Coming back from the injury, it's obviously a pretty good matchup this week. My heart says don't start him because I don't want to see him do well against the pass, but even if he has a good game, I don't think it's going to matter because it's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
But he's an option. This would be the week to play him. Another guy who's just – he's kind of been frustrating because he had a huge week 3 weeks ago. People picked him up. They inserted him into their lineups. In the past 2 weeks, he struggled, is Torrey Smith from Baltimore. I have him on my bench as well. That's an outstanding matchup against Indy.
Mm-hmm. Indy, yeah.
You know, the last thing you want to do here, if we're approaching the playoffs, so for the majority of teams that are here right now, their teams are pretty much locked in. If they've been bit by the injury bug, it probably hasn't been that bad. So their teams are pretty much like set in stone with what they have moving forward. Mm-hmm. But just like me, I have this issue where I have one or two guys, and I'm going to get to my other league in a second, where I have to make these decisions. You know, Robinson has been the guy. Is he going to lose those targets because of Austin? I agree with you, where, and I'm hoping you're right as far as it not being a high-scoring game, because I'd love to see Manning and Nick struggle. But, you know, do I take the hot, you know, Robinson who has the hot hand, do I take him out for a guy like Moss or a guy like Smith? That's kind of the only issue that I have in this league.
I might lean toward... What is it? Is it two out of those three or just one out of those three?
Just one, because I have A.J. Green.
You got A.J. Green.
I got two wide receivers. I got A.J. Green and Robinson in right now.
Yep.
And I could roll with Santana Moss or Torrey Smith.
Well, that Torrey Smith matchup against Indy is appealing, but the huge performances out of Torrey Smith are few and far between. I just I think it's he's an all or nothing kind of proposition.
Well,
and
Flacco has something to do with that too.
Sure, no
a
question
lot,
about
a lot of it.
And that's why I've said about Vincent Jackson that Phillip Rivers has a lot to do with
absolutely.
Why Vincent Jackson
no
hasn't
question.
Done well.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I just don't think I love the matchup for Torrey Smith. I don't think I'd feel comfortable going into a playoff week with Torrey Smith. I think there's a much more there's a lot less risk. With Santana, he's probably the least risky of the three.
Right.
Santana Moss, because, he's going to play. He's playing the worst pass defense in the NFL.
Right.
There's a chance that, Pete definitely thinks the Patriots are going to be out, have a huge lead in this game.
But at the end, I think they will.
But
I think they're going to win more than two touchdowns.
I could definitely see it being a game where Washington is passing and passing the ball a lot. I think Moss is the least risky. I could definitely see a 5-catch, 60-something-yard game, and maybe there's a touchdown there, maybe not. I do think Robinson is a guy you want to sit.
Right.
I do. I really
sit,
do.
Sit or so you're saying sit. Go with Moss, huh?
I think I might go Moss.
And you know what? What's just like makes you sick here, and fantasy football owners can all attend to this, is that test this literally as far as when you come to playoff time and you have the team that's gotten you here, and now you're in a position where you're swapping guys
yeah,
in and out.
That's,
can you imagine how I'm going to feel?
Right.
Is if I if I put Moss in that lineup and he just struggles, and
right.
Robinson, you know, whether he wins my game or not, but has a good week.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to be Beal. I'm going to have to live with that for the.
No, listen, I coach is Beal. I mean, it's a chess match a
it
lot
is.
Of times.
But think know. About the other way around. Think about if Chris Johnson's year this year was opposite of what it was. He starts out unbelievably well, has 1,000 yards through 7 or 8 games, and then coming into the playoffs, he has had 3 or 4 really poor weeks. Would you consider sitting him? Forget about the matchup.
Yeah.
Let's say Chris Johnson was entering this week off of 3 or 4
mm-hmm.
bad games.
Right.
If you decided to sit Chris Johnson and he exploded, you would not sleep once
no.
until next September. You
no.
wouldn't. So what you said is very true. You don't want it. There's something about going with the guys that brought you there.
Right.
And, you know, this is a tough call. Torrey Smith, Laurent Robinson, Santana Moss.
Yep.
That is a tough call. I would say, put it this way, I would not start Torrey Smith.
Right.
Okay? It's too bad because that matchup is so good.
Yep.
And would I be stunned if he has 150 yards and 2 touchdowns? I guess I wouldn't be, but I just think there's a better chance he has 1 catch for 15 yards than there is he has 150 yards mm-hmm. and 2. I just think there's way too much risk and reward with him for a playoff week. I'd lean towards Santana Moss right now. I'd put it between Moss and Robinson.
All right. Well, you know, it's just I'm going to go gut feeling.
Yeah.
Just when the time comes, we'll do what we have
and
to
and
do.
As far as the times of the games, you know, Patriots are at 1. Mm. Dallas is at night, obviously. And then Baltimore, they play at 1 o'clock also. So you won't be able to wait on Robinson.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
You won't be able to see if Robinson happens to be inactive. You won't be able to wait on that. Obviously, with Smith and Moss, I mean, they'll both be active. So it's not like you're going to be waiting for an inactive list for them.
Right.
But
I think I can live with if it shakes down where, you know, I stick with Robinson and maybe he doesn't do quite as well as Moss. I mean, I guess I can live with that more than sitting Robinson.
Yeah.
Putting Moss in, like we said, watching, you know, Moss struggle and having Robinson on my bench with, you know, 25 fantasy points.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see. But with that Baltimore game, I'm going to switch gears here to my other league. That Baltimore game is intriguing, and I'm in an even tougher situation as far as my QB. This is the league where I lost Schaub. Okay, I had Forte also, so Forte goes down. These are guys right here that I'm about to bring up that I know people have questions about.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have 3 quarterbacks on this team. We talked about Matt Moore last week. Okay, I put him in my lineup. We were looking for a huge game out of him last week. He was all right. He was serviceable. He rushed a touchdown in, so he got us some points there. But I actually have Flacco. I lost Schaub, so I have Flacco, and I have Matt Moore.
Yeah,
so we're sitting here talking about this game. Does Flacco explode this week?
Well, remember this, though. Last week, the Ravens rushed the ball 52 times.
Which they could do again.
Which they could do.
But like the Patriots like to do, and like they were doing last week when they were up big and in the hurry up, is, you know, are they going to work on some things in the passing game maybe against this Indy team just because Indy stinks? And they might try to work on some things for future games, but
big week out of Flacco this week, gentlemen. I believe I have him in. I don't feel great about it, but I have him in there right now.
Yeah. Well,
I think that's the play. I think they're
well,
just,
unless they rush the ball 52 times again,
right,
which they could.
Right.
They did that last week just simply because of that secondary in Cleveland. We've been talking about them, and it was just obviously Ray Rice is just a beast, and it's just as easy to hand it off. But,
right. Don't forget. There's screen passes to Rice. Rice catches the ball, too. He could have a huge game, and that could benefit Flacco.
You have to look at that also.
I'd go with Flacco. I'd probably go with Flacco. Close. It's close.
Yeah,
but I think
close.
I'd go with Flacco.
Maybe if, I don't know, maybe if we just, if we saw a little bit out of Matt Moore last week, and he's got a really good matchup this week with Philly.
Matt Moore has come on. He is startable, put it that way. He's startable. And it's close. Like I said, it's close. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a big game against Philly, as we've seen. As we've seen quite a few quarterbacks have. But I'd have to give the edge to Flacco just because, you know, I just think it'll be a cleaner game. It should be a clean game for Flacco.
Be a clean game. I think he's going to be in good field position all day because
it might not be a huge number game.
Yeah.
Might not be huge.
Yep.
But I think it'll be clean. I don't think it'll be, you know, I don't think he's going to have any picks.
Right.
And it should be solid.
Yep. And you guys talked about this guy earlier, and I actually have him on my bench. And Brian, you were kind of high on him for tonight, which I'm surprised about.
Who's that?
Was Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
I took him out. We're playing matchups here. He's been in my lineup, you know, steadily here.
Yeah.
This team is just in disarray. I actually have Robinson in this league as well. I have Bolden, who's kind of just been, he's been non-existent, but I guess this could be the week that he gets it done.
Yep.
And another guy that's just been super frustrating is Santonio Holmes. I know there's a lot of people out there, week to week, they just don't know what to do with this guy.
Right.
Because yes, he is the number one receiver in New York, but he's just not getting it done. Not a great matchup with Kansas City. I don't love it, but it's either Antonio Brown or I'm going to roll with Robinson. I'll stick with Bolden. Mm-hmm. And then it's either Antonio Brown or Holmes.
What
do you think there?
Yeah,
it's a crapshoot in that one also.
It is a crapshoot. We've seen some good defense out of Kansas City. You know, not against the Patriots per se, but
again, look at the quarterbacks going.
Yeah,
look at
the quarterbacks they've been going up against. And Sanchez, you know, we've been talking about how
the Steelers but Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, that was just that was there.
I really do like Antonio Brown.
Yeah,
I do like Antonio Brown. I don't know that he's more talented than Santonio Holmes, but yeah, you know, I think there's I like Antonio Brown to score tonight.
You think maybe? I mean, I guess with Wallace getting the attention, maybe
Wallace
maybe
gets the attention. That's
for Brown a little bit.
You know, that's part of it. That's definitely part of it. I was surprised. You know, there's some rankings that I really go to a lot on RotoWorld.com.
Yep,
Greg Rosenthal does a great job. He's got Antonio Brown 19th rated wide receiver this week. That's pretty high.
Yeah,
that is pretty high. I don't know if I think he's that high. And Cleveland, you know, I don't buy Cleveland's number one ranked pass defense mark. But that, you know, they are the number one ranked pass defense. I do like Antonio Brown, though.
All right. Well, that's another one there. Yeah. So it's just, man, this is a good place to be. This is good.
Sure. It's fun. It's fun, but it's nerve-wracking.
I could be sitting here, and it could happen next week. You know, I've had a lot of luck, but it could get to the point
do I do? As a sick aside, I just like watching you sweat it out every Monday night.
Pete, get ready, my friend. Get ready. It's going to get crazy. But there's just play the matchups. You know, let me just throw you my guys. There's just it's a 50-50 with a lot of these guys this week. You talked about Haylou. I like Spiller. I think that's going to there'll be some points in that game.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm starting Maurice Morris in this league as well. I don't think Kevin Smith is playing.
Yeah,
not psych 12th Minnesota. I think they're 12th overall in rush defense, but they're giving up some points there, so I think Maurice Morris is a pretty safe start. You talked about him, B-Lo.
Yeah, no, that'll I think work. Maurice Morris, if Smith doesn't play, and you're right, doesn't look likely that he's going to play, I think Morris is a good start.
And we talked about Crabtree last week. He was one of our starts of the week, and he produced for us 96 yards and a touchdown. I think he has another pretty good week against Arizona.
Yeah, Crabtree, I was happy to see Crabtree do well, and I think he's going to keep going.
And I don't think they shut it down, San Francisco. They're in a battle there.
Yeah, I agree.
They clinched the division.
Yep.
Green Bay clinched as well, but they're sitting at 10-2. New Orleans is you know they're still on the hunt. They're 9-3. These teams are playing. Green Bay maybe no Starks this week. Not really sure what they're going to do. But San Francisco with a pretty good matchup like that.
But yeah, well, don't forget that, you know, Cobb's going to be back, and Arizona's defense the last couple of weeks has been pretty good.
They've been.
And yep. I think last week might have been, again, numbers can be skewed because Romo stinks in December. But you know it's yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting game. I think
be.
The Niners win kind of ugly.
There's three that just stick out. We talked about them. I think you're right with that Oakland Green Bay. We got some points there. Atlanta Carolina. We didn't really get a chance to talk about. I mean, what a weird game last week with Atlanta. I mean, just how could you expect that? Carolina horrible defense. You'd want to start all of the Falcons, but I don't know. I'm not really too. You talked about Julio Jones earlier. You got Harry Douglas and Michael Turner.
Yeah.
That could just be a weird game right there.
Yep.
I'm actually playing against Jonathan Stewart, so I'm kind of hoping that's not really a shootout. Yeah. But I guess it could go either way.
All right, so, Mikey.
I'm moving on. Hey, gentlemen.
Well,
hey,
good luck.
Good luck. Come on now. Let's
love
get
it.
Them.
Love it.
I
don't have
up over here. I can't lose in the first round.
I'm not in the play. My team, my leagues don't have playoffs yet this week. It's next week, but I'm fighting for my life this week.
All right. Well, good luck to you. Have
you
a
too.
Good weekend. Go Pats, and I'll catch you next week.
Sounds
all right,
good.
Mikey.
All
thanks
right.
a
for
lot.
Calling.
Thanks right. a lot. Again, that's Poker Mike, my buddy, and real good. He's just he's doing very well in his leagues. I got to give him credit. Lots of emails to get to right now, Bela. Lots of them. Here's Todd in Jacksonville says, here's my invite. Well, they email us webradio@patriots.com. Or you can Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PeteSHEPPARD. Here, and Todd in Jacksonville says, here is my second team. This one is in the playoffs this week, parentheses. Standard scoring, quarterback Hasselbeck or one of these guys on the waiver wire, Fitzpatrick, Sanchez, Smith, Moore. Start with that one.
You know, I'd stick with Hasselbeck. Good matchup against New Orleans. That could, you know, they could have some firepower this week. However, they don't have Nate Washington. I wouldn't go crazy on Fitzpatrick. Good matchup, but, you know, I don't love it. Sanchez, no. Smith, don't like it. I mean, I think that could be an ugly one. Matt Moore, I mean, I don't know that I'd keep Matt Moore in the same ballpark as Hasselbeck. So I think in terms of Hasselbeck, Fitzpatrick, or Moore, they're kind of in that same category. Mm-hmm. I'd say stick with Hasselbeck, especially if that's the guy that you've been riding against New Orleans. I like it.
Pick two running backs, Peterson or Gephardt. Both he has both. Blount, Spiller, or Mo Morris.
Well, Peterson if he plays. Mm-hmm. I say no Gephardt either way. Mm-hmm. I'd probably say there's something about Blount. He had a couple of great weeks, then a really, really poor week last week. Some weird nonsense with an arrest that something weird. There's a vibe that I don't love right there. I'd probably go Peterson and Maurice Morris going up against each other, not literally, but in the same game, if Peterson plays and Kevin Smith doesn't.
Then pick two wide receivers, Steve Smith, Roddy White, Reggie Wayne, Antonio Brown, Crabtree.
Well, I do like White. I still do like White, despite what's going on with Matt Ryan. But they're going against Carolina. They can pass the ball against Carolina. I probably would go Steve Smith, Roddy White, another one. Two guys in the same game. But I do like Antonio Brown, like I've been saying. And I do like Crabtree, maybe not as much this week as I have in the past. But I'd probably go Smith and White.
And for the flex, any of the guys already mentioned except quarterbacks?
Yeah, go Antonio Brown. I'd say between Antonio Brown and Spiller. In those two, and I do think Antonio Brown scores tonight. I'd go Brown.
All right, let's go to another one from Robin Dublin, Ireland. Hi guys, this is an unusual one. Love it. I'm currently second place in my league, coming up to the last week of the regular season. I've already qualified for the playoffs. But I play the team in first place this week. He has two players, Schaub and Forte. Well, you're looking good. Out injured and doesn't pay any attention to his team.
Well, that's a problem in itself.
So do I go and lose this game on purpose so that I finish fourth and then play his weekend team in the semifinals, or do I beat him easily this week and finish top yet with a harder game next week in the semis?
It's like the Patriots problem they had a couple years ago against Miami.
But if they won that game.
Yeah.
That was the Flutie dropkick game.
Yes, it was.
It was Matt Castle that threw that incomplete pass at the end of the game. Yeah. Patriots played Jacksonville at home instead of on the road against Pittsburgh.
Right. Well,
conspiracy theorists might say that that game was thrown, but
I would say, Rob, yes, go with what you think would be the best playoff matchup for you. I'm going to say that.
Should I tell them to tank the game?
Tank the game.
Tank it.
Tell your players to tank the game. Watch. You'll try to tank it, and you'll win anyways.
Do you get any special, points or cash for finishing first
might. I mean, probably
so
not.
I think there would be an incentive to stop this type of collusion that could probably happen.
No leagues that I've ever been in. But the most important thing, Rob, is advancing within the playoffs. If winning this week you think hurts your chances in the playoffs, try to lose this week. I'm in. I buy it. I see what you're saying.
Wow.
I see what you're saying.
I'm appalled.
Well, I see what you're saying. Go with it. Go with your gut. Go with the best matchup you're going to have in the playoffs.
He says.
Tank the game. Tank it.
I love it.
I say tank it.
Oh, I love it.
It is what it is.
Yeah. It is. Let's see. Lucas says, hi, Pete and Bela. I need some advice on my receiving core. By the way, I drafted Welker in the second round when everybody else in my league drafted running backs.
Good
look
job.
How Welker is playing. Very good. Anyway, I need a second starter. Who would you play below between Larry Robinson, Torrey Smith, and Percy Harvin? Let's go with that one.
Well, you know, in general, I'd say Percy Harvin, no question about it. And actually, I think he did okay when Joe Webb was in there. I probably still would go with Percy Harvin. You know, same, we were talking with Mike about almost a similar question. Robinson, Smith, or Antonio, no, who do you have? Robinson, Smith, or, I'm forgetting, who he was saying. But anyways, I'd probably go with Percy Harvin.
Receiver. No, I forget.
I can't remember who it was. But I would probably go with Harvin among these three anyways, Lucas. But, you know, Robinson, he's a little banged up. Torrey Smith, I just think it's an all-or-nothing proposition. I'd go Harvin.
He says, who's a bigger bust between Brady Quinn and Kyle Boiler? And even Brody Croyle is better than those two guys. I don't know.
A bigger bust between Brady Quinn. I'd probably say Quinn just because Kyle Boiler now has at least been in. Who's he?
He's not, the hype he's Brady Quinn had coming out of Notre
ton
Dame.
Of hype.
I mean, ridiculous.
So I'd say Quinn is the bigger bust. I mean, Boiler was terrible, but he was. I don't even think is he in the league right now?
I don't think he was with Oakland.
I think last year.
No, he is in the league. He might still be with Oakland.
He might still be with Oakland.
Because his name popped up a couple of weeks ago and all those quarterbacks went down.
At least he's still an NFL player. You know, Quinn, what is this, his third year, fourth year? I'd say they're both busts.
Remember that draft? How far he went down.
Yep. And what Cleveland
trades up. It was 20th, I think,
something.
Right?
Cleveland
like
trades
that.
Up. Yep.
Then it says,
just to confirm that.
A little insider joke, guys. Checking in there about.
And Arbelo and Lindsay,
we're together on those Patriots Today clips
says, yeah,
because we host them together.
That's
so there
right.
you go. We're not married. No, I'm married, but not to Lindsay.
You're recently married.
Correct. I'm married, but not to Lindsay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, you still have time to email us at webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com.
I think there was one email. There was one other I saw here, Sean. Who is a friend of Bobby Hamilton's who wanted to make sure to know.
Oh, yes, there it is, yep.
Struggling whether or not to play Big Ben tonight or Alex Smith Sunday, I say go with Big Ben. I think both Pete and I agree that for Smith, this could be a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, it could be an ugly game. Yeah.
I think Arizona has a chance to get a little momentum here. I love Big Ben tonight.
I think
they're going to
I don't know
Cleveland.
If Cleveland's going to score.
I think they're going to clobber.
I think it's going to be like 36-0. It's going to be a horrible game.
Yeah.
Not if you're a Steelers fan, it's a great game. The only thing, though, in the Steelers, they were home Sunday. It is a short week. That's the only thing for them.
True.
But it's a
short week for both.
Short week for Cleveland.
Short week for both.
And they're coming off Baltimore and now Pittsburgh. That is tough for a team as offensively challenged as the Browns
That's
are.
That's true. No question about that. But I do think tonight I think it's going to be quite a bonanza for the Pittsburgh offense. I really do. Mendenhall as well. I think Mendenhall is going to have a pretty good game. And I just don't think much of Cleveland. I think this could get lopsided early.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
And, again, I think, gun to my head, if I look at one of the higher scoring games of the day, or I think what's going to be the highest scoring game, I still think that Green Bay-Oakland game is going to be all end all for points.
I agree.
Much like the Giants-Green Bay game was last week.
Yep. I think Green Bay is going to be, there's nothing that's that, they're not going to be stopped this weekend. I think Oakland's going to be able to.
And the other fascinating guy, you know, I hate to bring him up again, but I mean, you know, Tebow against this pretty very good Chicago Bears defense this week is going to be interesting. And I'm hoping
we've gone just about the whole hour without talking about Tebow.
I know. Well, I'm hoping that the Bears offense does not put Tebow in great position, like on the 15-20 yard line by ridiculous turnovers. That's my concern because then it just makes him look better. Than he should be,
but that might happen. Caleb Haney against Denver's defense. Well, last week they had their moments, like the interception at the end. But Denver's D is pretty tough. I like Tebow again this week. Then we'll see about next week.
God, and it's going to be the. And I'm so glad. In a way, I mean, as a media, I don't care. The game was. Are we going to travel? Are we going to Denver?
I'll be going to Denver, yeah. Okay. I'm actually not going to Washington, but I'll be going to Denver.
Well, I'm glad you guys, because you get the earlier flight, and I understand all that stuff, and I'm glad. But I think if that game was on NBC, it would have been the highest-rated regular season game on NBC of all time.
Could be.
Could
have been, yeah.
And it's still,
everybody's talking Tebow. Everybody wants to see. Even non-football fans, I think, would be tuning in that Sunday
afternoon. It's the ultimate pink hat game for the NFL, is that game. But at 4:15, you still have, you know, families are doing things. It's still not going to get, it'll get high, very high ratings.
Sure.
There's no doubt about it. It'll be phenomenal. But it won't be as high, in my opinion, as it would have been if it was 820 on Sunday night. So
I agree.
Kudos for Bob Kraft, whatever Jedi mind trick to use. I still don't know how. I mean, I know how he did it because Robert has a great relationship with the NFL. He's done a lot for football, and I think they just kind of granted him a little favor here. But technically, CBS blocked the game already with the Eagles and the Giants, or the Eagles and the Jets. And we're not supposed to be able to do this again, even though there was a favorite last week by Denver and Minnesota going to Fox.
But another factor had to be the Denver thing last week. That had to be a factor. CBS losing Denver, twice in 3 weeks, they're supposed to have Tebow. Yeah. And to lose that twice, that's a tough hit. So that had to be a factor.
But NBC lost the Patriots.
Yeah. They did lose the Patriots. You know? They had the Patriots one other time.
Yeah, against
the
Indy Patriots game last week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what's that?
They gave the Patriots away. They did not lose them. They chose to flex.
That's
them.
True.
Well, that's
no,
true.
True.
Well, you're right. That is true.
And they had the Patriots. When they had a Sunday night game. Who did the Patriots play on a Sunday night this year?
They had.
Didn't they have a Sunday night game?
The Jets.
Jets.
Yeah.
Jets game. Yeah.
Yeah. But this Patriot, even at 4:15 on Sunday, I think it's going to be one of the highest rated games regular season.
I agree.
NFL history.
Couldn't agree more.
NFL history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Milo, you're the man.
All right, Pete.
It's gone by so quickly. Again,
I know it. Good stuff. A lot of good emails today.
Yeah.
A lot of good emails today and calls as well.
We'll see you next week.
You betcha.
Happy Hanukkah. Is it Hanukkah?
Not quite yet.
When
we got two more weeks, I think.
Two more weeks?
Christmas is during Hanukkah this year.
Sunday, I think. On the 21st.
Is that what it is? So it's 2 weeks from today or yesterday.
Yeah. I'm getting jacked up.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, Rob responds from Dublin. Thanks, guys. I'm going to throw the game. I'll let you know how I get on.
Please let us know.
I cannot believe B-Lo. The morals and ethics
says throw the game. Listen, I separate fantasy from reality.
All right, my friend. We'll see you next week.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot. B-Lo and the Fantasy Football Lowdown every Thursday right here on the Pete Shepard Show between 4 and 5. When we come back, we'll get to your phones and get into the Patriots and the Redskins a little bit. And I'll give you my thoughts. We'll have all of my picks at the end. I promise to redeem myself on my Monster Miraculous pick, which I've now lost two in a row on. But anyway, more of that. Your Facebook messages as well. Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. And, of course, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We're back with more on patriots.com after this.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football.
and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place, shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Hey there, welcome back to hour number two of the Pete Shepherd Show. Final show of this week on Thursday, December 8th, the year 2011. Hope everybody's having a good time. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Give me a call. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, or Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We're doing it all live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. A very cold, crisp day. And those of you last night, man, that was as windy a night as I can remember in a long, long time. Long time. I mean, it was unbelievable, some of the gusts out there. But you know what? It's better than snow. It's better than snow. Anyway, injury report, in case you missed it earlier today. But Ridley and Vollmer, the only ones that did not participate in the media, did not participate today. These are all limited. Arrington, Chung, Connolly, Edelman, Fletcher, Hideyabo, McCourty, Slater, Spikes, who did not practice yesterday, was out there and limited today. Also, Vereen, Welker, Wendell, and Woodhead. Those were all limited.
Oh, my arm! It's broken. It's broken!
And for the Redskins, Baker, Landry, and Neal did not practice. Neal was not injury-related. And Austin, Bowen, Brown, Fletcher, Gomes, Hall, Hurt, Rocca, Grossman, Young, all limited. Grossman and Young were full participation. But again, as I talked about yesterday, the one name on the Redskins list that sticks out is LaRon Landry. Did not participate in practice. That's 2 days in a row. And I'm telling you right now, if he is not out there, they are going to get more torched than I already thought they were with him out there. So I think I've looked at this game, I've broken it down, gone through everything, gone through all the matchups, looked at it up, backwards, down, and sideways, and I just don't see how Washington stays within two touchdowns of this game when it's all said and done. I'm not going to say it's going to be 50 to 14 or something like that. And yeah, and please do not quote me about Shanahan's numbers against New England with Denver and this, that, and the Patriots never won in Washington, D.C. I don't play any. It's about this game at this particular time, at this Sunday, with these particular players. I don't care about the past. I do not
President,
care.
President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots.
And I'll never forget, I was covering the Patriots, and I was at, you know, that time being in every game for many years, and that was one. And what was, do you remember that game, Matt? You might have been young, too young to remember that game.
I believe I was, what year was that? Was that 94?
That was 96.
96?
Yeah.
So I don't exactly remember the game. I remember the moment, but I was 7 years old.
Yep. And I believe that was the Patriots Super Bowl year. Or it was the Super Bowl year. I'm almost positive. And believe, because they started off, I mean, that was a game they had just come off. It was either the Super Bowl year or it was the year after. But I can tell you this. No, it was Brewski's rookie year. And here's how I remember that. Brewski's rookie year, wasn't it? That was the Super Bowl year. And the reason why I remember that, Matthew, is because for some reason, Tuna tried a fake punt from like their own, the Patriots, like 13-yard line. And it was actually a pretty well-executed play, except that Teddy dropped it, which would have been a first down. It might have changed the whole complex of that game at that time. But instead, and I'll never forget telling Phil Simms, who was full of crap to his face, kiddingly, of course, but we're sitting there, a bunch of us were just sitting in the lunch in the press box upstairs, and he says, Phil said, he was doing the game back then with Jim Nantz, and Phil said, well, I could tell you two scenarios today. He said, the Broncos can blow out the Patriots, but the Patriots can't blow out the Broncos. And I went, you're nuts. I said, you're crazy. You know, the way that game was going, or the way that, you know, at the time, the way we felt about the Patriots. And, man, they missed that fake punt. Brewski dropped the fake punt. I think it was a rookie year. I'm almost positive.
You're right. It was 1996.
It was 96. Okay. Anyway, see, I'm dumb, but I'm not so dumb. But Brewski, that would have changed that day. If they get the first down there, it could have changed everything differently. But everybody crucified Parcells, but going for the fake punt, not a field goal, a punt from like his own, 18-yard line during that game. So, something to remember. But Patriots did go on to the Super Bowl, where they were leading after the first quarter, 14-10, and eventually lost. That was the Desmond Howard game. Anyway, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Carl in Montreal. Hey, Carl.
Hey, what's happening, Pete?
What's up, Carl? How are you?
I'm good. I got to admit, man, as the main thing is that we win, and that there's no injuries, that's the key for me right now.
Yep.
But I'm getting a little bored with some of these games. I mean, you could tell, I can't be mad at the Patriots. I mean, they were up 31-3.
Yeah.
They took, Welker ran a route that was a yard short for whatever reason there mm-hmm. on that play.
Yep.
And they just never, McCourty looked terrible again. I mean, that run play where he missed the tackle on Donald Brown and on several pass plays, and then Sterling Moore, like, you know, I guess he's not the shutdown corner.
No, well, I mean, he had Slater. I mean, I'm not sure if even as banged up as they are, I'm not sure if in a playoff game that, even though he played pretty well, Slater was starting at safety. I mean, I just don't think that's going to happen in a playoff. And Slater played very well. But the thing is, Slater and Edelman, who have the least experience, are having the best. Doing the best right now out there. But I'm hoping this week, you know, Spikes is back and Patrick Chung is back. And the McCourty stop is what bothers me more than anything else. But
me too.
But we'll see. There was I hate to say it. And so the only reason I looked at it because somebody sent it to me today, because I usually don't read Borges' stuff when it comes to the Patriots and the Herald. But it was mostly a Ronnie LaPette commenting on McCourty and saying to follow his instincts. So I'm hoping that'll be the case.
Yeah, on the upside on the defense, terrific play out of Vince Wilfork and Gerard Mayo. Mayo, I mean, he stripped a fumble, picked off an incredible diving interception.
Great interception, yeah.
Kraft and Mayo go together.
Yeah, not to mention he made a big play on a third down early in the game where he made an open field tackle.
Yep.
And on the goal line play, the batted ball on the second down to start the drive, and the play of Vince Wilfork, if you remember on that first and goal, when it was 3-0, he gets across,
he did.
Jumps the guard, and dives and saves a touchdown.
People don't realize how quick he is for a big guy. He can move, you know, not big chunks of yardage, but he does. He's football fast for a nose tackle, and I mean, he knows exactly where he needs to be to cut those gaps off. He really, he's amazing.
Terrific. I mean, I you know what? It kills me. I mean, the day we got rid of Richard Seymour, you have to figure that they were saying, well, they're going to have to re-sign Brady, they're going to have to re-sign Mankins, they have to re-sign Wilfork, and the one they chose to let go was Seymour. Now, Seymour is a franchise player. Everybody knows that. But if I had to choose between Seymour and Wilfork, I'd rather have Wilfork.
Oh, I agree. Well, I think Wilfork is it's a toss-up. I think that's a toss-up. I think they're both great players. Seymour left here. I mean, people were killing him 2 years earlier, 2 years in a row killing him, because they were so obsessed with sack stats. And I kept saying to people, he's drawing double teams, just like, well, I mean, allowing other people to do some other things. That's what Wilfork does.
Exactly.
You know, and Carter, too. Carter's having a tremendous year, and Anderson. So, look, if they keep putting and keep getting better, putting that pressure up, it can, like I said, it can hide a lot of secondary deficiencies. But, I don't think you're going to see a complacent relaxation by the Patriots in the fourth quarter like you saw against Indianapolis. I think you got to take into consideration the circumstance. No excuse, by the way, but they're up by 28 in the fourth quarter. They're playing the worst team in football, and they got guys like Slater out there starting at safety. I mean, it's just it's unheard of.
Yeah, I just wanted a couple quick things here, Pete. One scenario that cracked my head was, now we all know that there's four teams at 9-3 in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's say, God forbid, Baltimore used to finish 12-4, and the Patriots finished 13-3 with the Steelers. You got to figure the Steelers get number one because they beat us head to head.
Yeah, they would.
They would. Okay.
They would.
Because everyone's saying, oh, if the Patriots win their last four, they're guaranteed number one.
They're not guaranteed number one. If they win their last four and Houston wins their last four, Houston's number one.
Okay, so we got to pull for Cincy. And next Monday night, this is a good one. Pittsburgh's at San Fran.
Yes.
That's a good one. And the Sunday night, Baltimore's at San Diego. And I have a feeling San Diego might catch fire now.
I hope so. They look pretty good finally. And once they got it going in the first quarter the other night against Jacksonville, they look like a decent team. But they've got a lot to prove to me again this week.
But we'll see.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I like them this week against Buffalo. I mean, that'll be a good test again for the defense. You know, decent offense for Buffalo. But they should beat the Bills in San Diego.
One last prediction out of UP.
Yeah.
What do you think? With four games left, Aaron Rodgers has 37 touchdown passes. Will he break Tom Brady's 50 of 2007?
I don't know. I think it'll be close. I think, you know, there's Brady could break it. Breeze could break it.
Brady's got 30. He's not going to get 20.
Well,
21 in four games.
Oh, yeah, who knows? You know, I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past him to throw. You know, he'd have to get five a game, but so probably highly unlikely. But no, I think Aaron probably has a real good shot. I think all three of them have a good shot to break Marino's passing yardage record. So
definitely, it's been incredible. And Eli Manning's not far off either. He's had a good year. That might have been the game of the year last week. Giants Green Bay, terrific football.
It was a great game and high scoring and. It's just too bad the Giants didn't feel like playing defense the last minute of the game, last 58 seconds of the game. But Aaron Rodgers threw some great passes, and it is what it is. I still think they're going to stub their toe. Green Bay is before the season is over. But look, we've seen it around here before already. So
it is what it is.
There's a long way to go.
And we got one. We got another run coming. We need to draft in the offseason a breakout receiver who can stretch the field. And another pass rusher, and we might be ready to make another run because next year we got the San Fran, St. Louis, Arizona, and Seattle division.
You're already looking ahead to next year's schedule, huh?
Oh, dude, this is life for me, man.
All right, Carl.
Take care, Pete.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Email me. I just want to get through Sunday. He's worried about the schedule next year against the NFC West.
Hey, San Fran's no slouch.
No, they're not.
Three teams. I think it's crazy that he said that if he had to choose between Wilfork and
I think it's a toss up.
In their prime.
I think it's a toss up. I mean, you think Seymour this year is having a great year? I mean,
do you think Seymour would be the way he is with all the disciplinary problems he has and he can't stay focused and all that if he was still in New England?
I don't know.
I don't think there's a chance he would have a quarter of the penalties he's had.
Oh, probably not. I mean, I think when you play for the Raiders, you automatically get stupid. I mean, that's just a given because that's the mentality that they have. They don't have the discipline they have here. No, I mean, look, they made the deal. I understand why they did it. It ended up working out. I think it ended up working out for both teams. But I love Will Fork. I think
Will Fork is one of my favorite players. But I think that, you know, I think they could have figured out a way to keep both.
Probably they would have had
the problems we've had the past couple of years where you had that huge drop off because there were no veterans other than Will Fork.
Yeah, I mean I understand that, but I still think that as far as in their prime, I think Will Fork does a lot of damage because again, I think a lot of people base defensive linemen on sacks, and I don't. I mean, I think there's a lot that goes. It's a lot more to playing the position than just getting sacks. And even though Seymour's obviously more of a pass rusher guy than Will Fork is, but I don't know. That's a tough call in their prime. I think Will Fork's having one hell of a year.
And he's going very under the radar too. People are saying he's dropped off or something like that.
I don't know. Last week
is your example. He looks tremendous, just as good as he's ever looked.
John played the sound early from the locker room, and the best thing is that what he says, he feels great. He feels better than he has the last couple of years, which is scary for any offensive lineman that he's saying that. At this point in the season, this is when players say mostly banged up, and he's saying as a big guy in the defensive line that he's feeling great, better than he has the last 2 years. That's awesome.
Well, he's got some help this year. Kyle Love is also playing very well, and I think that takes – although he's playing a lot of snaps.
Yeah. Well, good. Carter and Anderson, too. When you have a cohesiveness and you're getting pressure and it's not all about Will Fork now, I mean, but certainly it helps. It makes those other guys able to do some things. So.
And they're letting him get upfield, too. It's not just, all right, Vince, you stand right in the middle and just beat up blocks, take as many hits as you can.
Yep.
He's able to do a few different things. They're playing him out on the end like they did last game.
Yeah.
I think that's the best thing for him, keeping him fresh. And
yeah, absolutely. You know,
The numbers don't lie.
No.
He's having a great year.
He's having a fantastic year. And I wonder if how many people around nationally realize what kind of a year he is having.
Not many because they look at Haloti not his numbers. And
yeah, because they go sack happy numbers instead of, they refuse to look at the big picture. Again, sack numbers to me are very extremely overrated. Not as overrated as stolen bases in baseball, but because I do think they're significant somewhat, but I just think people overhype sack numbers as to how well pass rushes are. Email me at webradiopatriot.com and call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Here's Tyrone in Delaware. Tyrone?
Hey, man, what's going on, Pete?
What's up, Tyrone? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine.
Did anybody from Philadelphia yell at you today?
No, everybody was, you know what, everybody always talking about my hat, so, you know, New England, so, you know, I get a lot of attention when I put my hat on.
They're just jealous.
It is what it is, to come with the territory.
They're just jealous, yeah. What's on your mind today?
As soon as I hanged up yesterday, some of your listeners was getting at me. I don't want to know why, but I'm like, because yesterday you said I was making blanket statements, but I didn't. Because I listened to the audio, I replayed the audio when I got home. I didn't bring it up last year, 2 years ago with Baltimore. I didn't bring it up. That game, like you said, I'm a lot smarter than that. That game, you can't take one game that happened 2 years ago, underscore from right now. And that's what I'm going on. And like I said, people, you know, my boy up there, he lives up there in Walpole, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's getting all hype, but I'm trying to calm him down. I said, man, you'll get let down again. And I'm just trying to be objective here. And like I said, I just don't see it, man. I just don't see where the other, you know, and even I was listening to some of PFW today, and they kind of agreed with a lot of things I said. And, you know, like I said, I'm just...
Well, what is it that you don't see?
Be objective here.
But you seem to be way more concerned about the offense.
Yeah, we should be. Because, like, okay, let me ask you this. Let's be honest. And even after I hang up, your man could, I think it's Kevin, I don't know who's answering, could answer after. I would like to know what he thinks. If you're a defensive coordinator, and we got three teams, because I think the Packers, the Saints, and the New England Patriots, they rank.
Yeah, top three, yeah. Yep.
If you're a defensive coordinator, right,
mm-hmm.
which offense you would rather offense you had to play.
Well, I think everybody is probably going to obviously tell you Green Bay because of Rodgers having the record kind of year that he's having. I'm just telling you, if you've seen, Green Bay has pretty much been fairly consistent for most of the year, okay? New Orleans has had their clunkers, too. It's not, and the Patriots also. I mean, it's not like just because they step on the field, Tyrone, that they're going to put up 35 and be perfect all the time, because New Orleans has stumbled a couple of times, probably more than they should have. The Patriots have stumbled a couple of times more than they should have, so it's not always going to be pretty. But in the last four games for the Patriots, my friend, they've scored the least amount of points they've scored is 31. 37, 34, 38, 31. I mean,
but that's against the teams I know they was going to score.
But
the
you can say, but Tyrone, you can say, Tyrone, you can I say know. That you can say the same thing about Green Bay and New Orleans. Say the same thing.
The coordinator, I want to see the Patriots offense. I don't want to know no part of because I know for a fact if you play man coverage, and I've seen it happen, and I'm just being objective here. You play man coverage and outside.
I don't disagree with you about the man coverage, and I don't think you're going to see a lot of man coverage. Again, when the playoffs come around, my friend, I don't think you're going to see Slater starting at safety. I don't think Sterling Moore is going to see a lot of action. Things are going to be different in a month when the playoffs start. That's all I'm trying to say. Right now, this is kind of they're piecing this thing together and going day by day here to see who's healthy. I'm not worried about playing New Orleans or Green Bay because there's only one time we're going to have to play them, and that's the Super Bowl if they make it that far. So I'll cross that bridge. That's a good 8 weeks away. That's 2 months away. I'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I'm just worried about this week, this team playing against the Washington Redskins. I mean, we can have all the theories we want.
To be honest with you, and I'm being honest, I watch every game.
I know you do.
You know what I'm saying? I watch every game. I think we're going to lose probably one or two of these games coming up.
Why?
I don't know which one. I'm looking at probably Miami and the Denver Broncos. For whatever reason, I'm not talking about what we do with the records at Denver. No. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying right now, I see we get two losses coming up. And like I said, when we get to the playoffs, if the playoffs is what I'm looking at, you know, I know we're going to probably get up there. Probably we might be the second or third seed. But all I'm saying to my friends, my Patriots Nation, that for whatever reason, when we get to the playoffs, we're going to be one and done. I mean, I'm just seeing it as I'm seeing it.
Well, I don't know how. Tyrone.
It's
frustrating.
The linebackers in Philadelphia, it's like, to me, you don't think it's an important.
Just gonna let him go.
Position. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't see. No, I don't see what you're. I don't see what you're saying because you're talking about a game. You're making again. You made a blanket statement, a one and done statement. A game that's 5 weeks. A game that's 5 weeks away. 5 weeks away, and you've already dismissed them.
You had a caller yesterday said, I was talking about, we didn't have no wide receivers at the time when we won the Super Bowls. Of course we didn't, but we had a good run game, and we had a good defense. It wasn't the top notch, but it was. I think we were always ranked 10th or 9th, and when playoffs starting, you know, when we was getting there, the playoffs we was getting better.
And I told you, when the playoffs start this year, the points allowed in this defense is probably going to be in the top 10. They're close right now to the top 10.
Okay.
So I just be careful.
You always say about the yardage, but the yardage last week did result the points. And I know we had Slater and Elderman, but it seems like to me whenever we have a big lead, we always let a touchdown at the end of the game. We always let a touchdown go up at the end of the board. That tells me something. And since Carter, since that game with the Jets, when he got those four sacks, teams now doubling Carter now, I noticed. And so we ain't getting that pass rush we was getting, you know, in the middle of the season because they're doubling Carter now.
Hang on a second. Let's just say, you say they're always giving up in the last month.
Guys, and like I said, I want to know what
right, thanks. I appreciate your quip, but you just, again, you're inaccurate when you say about them giving up touch the last month of the season. Okay, yes. In Indianapolis, yeah. The last four games, yes, they gave up three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Philadelphia, they won by 18. Yeah, okay, they could have won by, you know, they could have won 38-13. They could have won by 25. Okay, the game before that they won by 31. The game before that they won by 21 against the Jets. So all these touchdowns that you're saying they're giving up at the end, I'm not seeing it. The Dallas game they won. The Jets game they won 30-21. Oakland was 31-19. San Diego was by 14. Miami was by 14. Miami did get a garbage touchdown back in week one. But, you are making blanket statements because you're talking about you've already got them one and done 5 weeks from now. You have no idea what the hell is going to happen in this league for the most part. And I'll be stunned if they're one and done this year, stunned. And when you talk about what offenses to other teams would not want to face, I think obviously people are going to tell you Green Bay right off the bat this year. What I'm telling you is that Green Bay, New Orleans, and the Patriots present three different types of offenses. They're not the same. So it depends on what defensive coordinator you have. I don't know. If you're Baltimore, maybe they want to face a Green Bay. Maybe they'd want to face a Green Bay as opposed to the Patriots, you know, the tight ends. And you keep dismissing the Patriots' running game, and it's a very – It's a better than decent running game because you're looking at net yardage numbers and the way that game went last week. But I can tell you a bunch of other times this year when they have needed to run the football, they have been able to do it successfully. And even as much as a couple of weeks ago against Philadelphia, the reason why Brady had a real good game was because they started running the ball, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. And even though he may not have 100 yards in the game, it made a difference. But Tyrone, you can't just say in 5 weeks they're going to be one and done. It's ridiculous to say that. You don't even know who's going to be out there then for anybody. Let's stay on the Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Here's what's it say? Bad Kevin. Bad Kevin.
What's going on, Pete?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, help me out here. I need your help.
Well, where are you from anyway?
From Illinois.
Oh, Illinois.
I've sat here and listened all week long to all the shows.
Yep.
What is everybody bitching about?
Well, that's because it wasn't a sexy enough closure. It wasn't a sexy enough win. I agree. I agree. I mean, I was disappointed with a little bit of how McCourty played at the end. I still don't think he's 100% or anywhere near it right now. And certainly to see that secondary out there. But you go back, and I've watched the game a couple of times to see they could have put up 80 points in that game if they wanted to, easily.
Absolutely,
easily. They took their foot off the gas pedal a little bit, and it cracks me up because the hypocrites out for the hypocrisy for years or others, broadcasters and media people like saying, "Don't run up the score, don't run up the score, don't run up the score," and then those same people last week are saying, "Well, they don't know how to finish, they don't know how to finish," which is absolutely garbage. Right. If you look at a lot of the wins they've had this year, they finished by plenty and won by many games by double digits. So
there's a guy that calls in from the D.C. area, and he's kind of been big this week about what Patriot fans don't understand, especially those that live in Boston, is how good we've got it.
I'm with you.
It is ridiculous to me every week. A buddy of mine sit here and listen to you guys and listen to the PFW mm-hmm. guys, and he's a Bears fan, and he just shakes his head. What are they bitching about?
Well, because we're spoiled brats. I mean, a lot of people are spoiled brats, and I tell everybody every week, and Brady reiterated last week during his press conference, I just don't think the average person out there realizes, the average fan realizes, how difficult it is to win a game in the NFL. But we have become so spoiled around here by the scores that the sexiness of the win has now overtaken. The fantasy football numbers of the win have now overtaken the reality of the situation. It's really ridiculous. It's almost a pink hat syndrome.
That's the cover, Pete.
Yeah,
cover.
Exactly.
How much money does Vegas win when the Patriots?
Well, that's right, and that's what I said last week. And I said, you know, most of the people bitching are probably the ones that laid the 21 points and didn't come to fruition, so they're upset. You know, and that's a big chunk of the audience. I know it. And you can hear it sometimes at the stadium when if the Patriots blow a lead or blow a backdoor cover, get allow a team to backdoor cover on them like they did last week with Indianapolis. People get upset. I mean, but they let it cloud their judgment of the overall big picture of the team.
Absolutely. Well, Pete, I just want to say I enjoy listening to you. Keep it positive. Keep it real. You and Fred keep.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll be
Patriots Nation going.
I know. Well,
it's a great thing to listen to because I'm tired of listening to everybody bitch about how bad.
I'm with you. Just do me a favor and root the damn Bears on. I can't take another week. If the Bears offense can muster up just a couple of points, because their defense will give. Baby Jesus out there a little bit of problems. So I hope that the Bears somehow can just just stifle him.
Coming in 7-1.
No, no.
Let's knock him off.
No, I want to knock him off. I know, but I still want him to I want him to feel uncomfortable on Sunday. He was a little it was a Minnesota bad defense on Sunday, but I'm hoping that the Bears offense can muster up a little something.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm tired of him, too, so I digress. Thanks a bunch, Pete. I appreciate taking my call. And
Bad Kevin, you're the man.
Ass, man.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Bad Kevin in Illinois. Yeah, got to love it. Anyway, going to take a quick break and then come back, and it'll be, it'll probably be that time. Close to it. I am going to so redeem myself this week. Although my overall picks, I actually threw the sheet out by accident. I actually kept 2 weeks ago by accident. But I know I went, I finished 3 games over 500 overall. But I did blow my miraculous lock of the week for the second straight week. So I have got a doozy for you this week that I'm going to redeem myself on. I promise you that. 8-4 on the season. But anyway, to a quick break. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Also, Facebook me, Pete Sheppard, PETESHEPPARD. We are back for the final segment of the Pete Sheppard Show for this week on Patriots.com after this.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it?
Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepherd.
Well, you know, Tyrone draws a crowd. Should I read some of these? I promised when I started doing this last year I'd read every email. But I mean, if you're gonna bring it, you gotta take it. So I'm just gonna tell you, it's not my opinions, Tyrone. I'm just telling you what people are Facebooking me and saying. Okay, it's all good fun. Let's not get nasty. This is kind of nasty. Well, I don't know. But one guy says Tyrone is an idiot. Blow him up. No, I don't blow anybody up. Guthrie says I hope Patriots score 100 to shut Tyrone up. Manny says on Facebook, hey, Pete, Tyrone needs to realize to take it game by game. I just heard there was another shooting. Another shooting at Virginia Tech. So sad. Yes, there was early today. A couple people injured. It's unbelievable what's happening down there. And it's the campus was full, too. But the students didn't have classes today. They had they were all studying for it's the day before final start or midterm start. So. But that is just sick what's happened down there. You'll remember what happened in 2007 when 32 people got gunned down by that maniac. Anyway, Sandusky free on $250,000 bail, but gets home confinement. He got all this house bonds and everything. Then his wife somehow came up with a $50,000 check to balance it out. That tool. Oh, he's just gonna get. They're just gonna, you know. He's going to die a slow, ugly death when it happens. It's going to happen soon. That guy is just the ultimate, ultimate dirtbag. Dirtbag. Anyway, I know it is a season for forgiveness, but he gets none of it. None of it. Not in my eyes. Maybe the man upstairs, but not for me. Anyway, I think it's about that time. get into some more fun stuff here and get to my picks. Man, I am feeling like at least 72%. In fact, for the first time all year, Kevin, I'm going to guarantee 72% or next 5 weeks are free. Next 5 weeks are free if I don't hit 72%. All right? You can't get that anywhere on the planet, any 900 number or web show or whatever. Guaranteeing 72% or next week is free. The next 5 weeks are free. So how it works is I pick all the games at the end. I will give you my Patriots pick and the score. And at the very end after that, I will give you my Meat Shepherd Monster Miraculous pick of the week. So let's start. Remember, there is a game tonight. Don't forget, fantasy football people, there is a game tonight. So the Steelers are at home against the Cleveland Browns. The Steelers are minus 14. You know how I feel about double-digit spreads for the most part, but this is not one of those times. I don't think Cleveland is even going to score. If they do, I don't think they score more than 7. This is the Steelers all the way. They're going to destroy Cleveland tonight. Lay the 14. Take the Steelers. Baltimore is at home, minus 16.5 against Indianapolis. Now, what will happen is this could be another game where Indianapolis may not score. And what will happen is people will forget that they were down by 28 points in the fourth quarter to the Patriots, and they'll make some stupid analogy at the end of this one that, see, Baltimore's defense didn't give up 3 touchdowns like that. It'll be meaningless. It'll be stupid. Later, 16.5, I think Baltimore might shut on Indianapolis. I think this is just horrible for them on the road in this game, back-to-back. Road games against the Patriots in Baltimore. Too much for Indy. Baltimore minus 16.5. I'll take it. Cincinnati is home. Very, very interesting game against Houston. The Bengals, they really, really need this one. They need this one. They're faltering a little bit. And right now they are 7-5. They are third in the AFC North. So they really need this one to keep pace with Tennessee and keep pace with Oakland and Denver. And I'm going to go with them. I am going to go with them. Plus, I really want to see Houston lose. Can Yates win win 2 games in a row? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Matt Castleton play as poorly as he did in the first half of that game last week, he would have won that one. But I'm going to take Cincinnati, the Bungles, somehow rebound and get this done, -3. Packers are at home against the Raiders. I'm just stunned that this line is only 11. It should be like 18. It should be like 18 points. The Raiders looked horrible last week, and yes, I am one of those people that always says, you know, you can come back. Most NFL teams have pride, and they get humiliated like the Raiders did last week in Miami. They will come back. They might come back, but they're going to lose by at least 2 touchdowns. You got to love Green Bay in this one. There'll be a lot of points, though. Oakland will put up some points in this one, but Green Bay wins. We cover the 11 easily. Green Bay minus 11 is a play. The Jets are home against Kansas City. Tyler Palco, can he throw another Hail Mary? Jets minus 10.5. I don't know what to make of this game. I think it's too many points. I think it's too many points. All these games on paper look easy because it's the Chiefs, but the only team that really blew them out so far has been the Patriots the last few weeks by 31. So I'm going to take Kansas City here plus the 10.5. I'm going to take Kansas City plus the 10.5 here. Maybe get a backdoor cover. Next up, the Lions are at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Not sure if Peterson's going to play. Detroit minus 8 at home. I love the Lions in this game. This one is going to be ugly for the Minnesota Vikings. Ponder may not play either. I like Detroit minus 8 all the way. New Orleans traveling on the road. They are minus 3.5 at Tennessee. Not so fast, people, as Lee Corso would say. I like the Titans in this one. 3.5, plus 3.5 at home. New Orleans, game against an AFC opponent. I know that New Orleans is still hanging in there with Atlanta. They have a 2-game lead on the Falcons, but this is a bad spot for them. I like Tennessee in this one. Tennessee is also fighting to stay alive in the playoff hunt at 7-5. They really, really need this game, and they're a 3.5 point underdog at home. I love Tennessee here. Miami is home. Can they win another home game? They're playing the Eagles. Who knows what team is going to show up? I think Philadelphia's packed it in. They stink. I'm going to go with Miami. Who would have thunk it 8 weeks ago that we'd say that? But I like Miami minus 3 at home against Philadelphia. Next up, another interesting game. The Falcons are on the road again this time to take on Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to stick with Matty Ryan and the Falcons. Somehow get this done. They have really got to win this game. Falcons are 7-5 as well in the NFC South. And they're right there with Chicago and Detroit as far as fighting for the wild card. A couple of teams like the Giants, only a game behind. Philadelphia's out of it. But Chicago and Detroit are 7-5. Atlanta 7-5. So this is a big, big time game. Big time game for Atlanta. I only went with the Falcons. -2.5 at Carolina. The next one is the worst game of the day. It's Jacksonville at home against Tampa Bay. I'll pick Jacksonville just because they're at home. I don't know if Freeman's going to play. This is just going to be one of the ugliest games of all time. Jacksonville in a pick against Tampa Bay. They win 5-3. San Francisco is on the road. -4 at Arizona. Call me nuts. Call me nuts. I just think this is going to be one of those ugly games. And I think Arizona's been playing better defense lately. Cobb is going to be back. I think they put up a fight in this one. I really do. I think Arizona comes away with a cover. Maybe not a win, but a cover. San Francisco is just about all but wrapped up the number 2 seed. Well, I shouldn't say that because New Orleans is only a game behind. So I shouldn't say they wrapped it up. They wrapped up their division. But I like a little bit of a letdown this week. I'll take Arizona +4 at home against the San Francisco 49ers. And then we go to Denver and Tebow and the Denver defense. Can they do it again? The Chicago Bears have a very good defense. They have no offense, though, at this moment. So you got to like the under in that game. This is tough. But somehow I'm going to take the Bears again and pick against Denver +3.5. I'm going to take the Bears +3.5 because Chicago's defense will keep this game close. It's just a question of will Chicago's offense put the Denver offense in good position by turning the ball over. Yes, the Chicago offense turning the ball over, meaning Denver's defense could get the ball in very good field position and they won't have a short field. I hope that's not the case. I'm going to go with the Bears +3.5. Next game is San Diego at home against Buffalo. Even though I think San Diego wins this game, I think it's a tad too many points here for 7. Backdoor cover by the Bills. I like Buffalo +7 in this one, but San Diego will win their second straight, and lo and behold, look out, because if Denver and Oakland both lose, all of a sudden, we got a race to get in the AFC West because the Chargers will only be a game out. Very, very interesting as the AFC West heats up down the stretch. Next up, Dallas is home against the New York Football Giants on Sunday Night Football. Dallas is a 3.5-point favorite. Dallas humiliated last week on the road in Arizona. Giants put up a valiant effort against the Green Bay Packers, but still lost. I just like the Dallas Cowboys in this game. In a couple weeks, I might feel differently when they play again in New Jersey. But I like Dallas on Sunday night, -3.5 over the New York Football Giants. Monday night, another horrible game in a rematch of last year's playoff game. NFC West showdown between the Seattle Seahawks and the St. Louis Rams. 5-7 versus 2-10. What a matchup it is on Monday Night Football. It's too bad they just couldn't have both teams surrender and not even play the game and show a replay of something else. I'm not sure, but who's going to watch that on Monday night? Seattle and St. Louis. Too much good college basketball on that night to watch that game. People will because there's a spread, and that's why I'm here. I'll take the Seahawks -5.5. I liked how they looked against Philadelphia last week. So we'll see. But that was Philadelphia. Seattle, -5.5. They get the call here from yours truly. Again, I guarantee 72% for the next 5 weeks are free. And finally, for the first time all season, Kevin, a combination, my miraculous lock of the week, or whatever you have there as a theme.
And now it's time for Pete the Meat Shepherd's Monster Lock of the Week.
My Monster Lock of the Week is a combined with the Patriots game, first time all year. I am guaranteeing it, and I'm guaranteeing it big. Patriots 35, Washington 19. Too many players for Washington to cover on offense by the Patriots. They've also got problems. Laron Landry, I don't know if he's going to play or not at safety. Huge loss. They don't have Davis. They don't have their left tackle and Trent Williams. Just Grossman. Forget about what happened last week. I don't care what Shanahan's record is against the Patriots in other years with other teams and other players. The Patriots never won in Washington, D.C. I could care less about that. Doesn't matter. In the end, Patriots 35 and Washington 19. That is how it is going to play out, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Don't worry about it. 35-19 to your New England Patriots, and they will improve to 10-3. All right, I want to thank everybody this week for calling in and emailing and checking in, all the guests. Thanks to Kevin Collins and Matt for producing this whole thing. We will talk to you again next week here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com, beginning at Tuesday at 4 p.m. As always, enjoy your football. Have a great and safe rest of your week. Enjoy the weekend. Try to stay out of the mall if you can. Be safe if you are. You know, don't mess with those women in the pocketbooks. I tell you, it's brutal. Absolutely brutal to go shopping this time of year. Brutal. Anyway, have a great and safe rest of your week, everybody. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Bye-bye.
Stand up so high, you need a strength most don't possess. Or has it ever come down to do or die? You got to rise above the rest.
Pete Shepherd, Pete Shepherd, the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.